This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway, wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And this is an exciting episode because I am in my podcast studio. Not somebody else's, not in my guest bedroom or my buddy's garage, which if you've been listening throughout the journey, those are actual places that I've had to record in the past. In fact, I've recorded in my buddy's closet when we stayed in their basement for a couple months. And it's refreshing to know that I finally have a space where I can have guys over, where we can all sit around a table and chat about hunting and fishing and the outdoors and all of the adventures that we go on. And so this is a special episode, but more than that, it is a really fun episode talking all about our trip to Alaska. So three of the guys in the room with me are going to be going to Alaska. And then my buddy Sean, who you guys are all familiar with, is calling in from Colorado, and we're just going to chat and share all about our plans, talk about who's bringing what equipment, who's shooting a bow, who's shooting a rifle. You'll hear a little backstory of how everybody made it into this trip. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. So there's an update for you, but another update for you, because I get so many questions about the knives. A lot of people are like, hey, I didn't get one before they sold out. Are you doing another run? We are, in fact, doing another run. We will do a run of green knives and black knives, both the folding knives, as well as releasing a new sheath knife. So I don't have an exact date on all of this, when it's going to go live on the website again, but it's coming soon, like in the next couple weeks. So stay tuned online on social media, as well as listening to the podcast, and I'll be sure to let you guys know when that stuff's available so you can go and pick yours up. Enough about all that, though. This is an awesome episode. You guys are absolutely going to love it. So let's jump in with the whole Moose Camp crew.
Like, he was doing things that were just badass.
That was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I was really scared, but knowing that Dan had the gun, I did have the rifle, like, we would be okay.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And joining me on the show today, this is, first podcast in the podcast studio. And I have to come up with a name for this place. I don't have it yet, but maybe throughout this podcast, we'll try to figure something out. But I've got Austin Reinold to my left.
What's up?
Across the table, Logan. Logan, dude, I don't even know your last name.
Bryant.
Bryant. I did know that. Just kidding. I forgot it. This is what my wife always talks about. Like, I already told you, and then you forgot. And I'm like, no, you never told me that, but you definitely told me your last name. Jason Bromley across the table from me. And on the phone joining in is Sean Leshinsky. And this, so far, is our Moose crew for 2024.
Yeah.
And we're just going to hang out and talk more about moose hunting. If you're new to the podcast and you've only listened for the last 2 months, you're probably like, is that all you talk about is the moose hunt? And it probably will be until we get back from it, and then for like 2 more months after that.
Oh, yeah. Depending on how it goes. I mean, it could be one of those trips. I'm just going to be like,
listen, we're not going to talk about it, or we're going to complain about it for either a long time.
I think it's either way going to be a trip to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Jason just hopped in. So, like, I'm trying to
think
the order.
I think we need to go over that story.
Austin jumped in on the trip, like, very early on. Sean and I started planning this trip, what, Sean, 5 years ago? 6 years ago?
It was 2018 when I went on the first one, and we started talking moose hunting.
Yeah, we were talking about Alaska right away. I mean, as soon as we found out that you drew for Colorado, and it was like, dude, we got to plan an Alaska trip. And every year it's like, this year, no, we're not going to do it this year. This year, no. And then finally, like most things, my wife got sick of me talking about it. And she was like, why don't you just do it this year? And I was like, if I can get one more person to join me, I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm not Remy Warren, man. I'm not going out there like solo packing a moose out of the backcountry of Alaska. But I was like, if I can get one more person. And so that's when I started making calls. And Austin, you jumped in right away. Sean was, he really wanted to go, but he didn't know with a business that's coming up and with kids and especially new, like little kids, where he was at. You got Logan in. Come to find out, Sean's wife reached out to me, said, hey, I'm buying Sean the tickets for Alaska and I'm going to surprise him. And I'm like, yes. And then Brad is still on the fence. Actually, he was here today talking to me about it. And he's like, dude, I think more than anything, it's not help with the kids. If I get my house projects done, then my wife will find help for the kids and I'll be in.
Okay.
But I figured Brad was out because it's been months of him not making any progress. And Jason, you were here 2 weeks ago on Thursday night.
Yep.
We were hanging out in the pool talking about moose hunting. And Austin and I were like, dude, you just want to come to Alaska? And you're like, wait, for real? I'll talk to my wife about it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, what flight do you guys have? And you bought the tickets. We told you about it, and it was like a few days later, booked tickets.
The best part was he texted that morning and was like, hey guys, it's looking good. What's your flight? And I'm like, okay, he wants the flight information, thinks it like this is looking good. All of a sudden it's like, I got the flights. And I was like, wait, what? You're in?
Yeah.
Let's go.
So I feel like the kid that like in the group project, everybody else has put in all the work and then I just get to like put my name like to sign it at the end of the project.
No. Because you were gonna put in work, man.
Oh yeah,
no, you are packing out moose, dude.
Okay. I'll be the mule and I'll just carry everybody's gear.
Actually decided that last guys night.
All right.
Last Thursday. We were like, yeah, I think he's not buying a tag and he's just gonna carry all our packs.
So yeah, I'll just start practicing right
front
now.
And back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go into the Alaska Fishing Game office when we get there and I'm gonna come out and be like, dude, Jason, they only had 4 tags, man. So if you could just make sure your pack's empty for when
I said from the beginning, I would just be happy to hold the camera, which I know you'll probably have it strapped to your chest or anything, but I've always dreamt to going to Alaska, and I feel like this is just a once in a lifetime opportunity. And Shannon, my wife, she knew that, so that's why she was open. She was just like, but man, 11 days is a long time. And that's what she said. She said, if you could find some help for me, because we have a 9-year-old and a 16-month-old, and she's like, if you can find someone to help. And then I talked to my mom, and once mm-hmm. my mom cleared it that she could come, she's gonna at least stay for a week. So yeah, I was like, okay, I'm doing it. Bought the tickets.
Heck yeah.
And yeah, here we are. So thanks for inviting me and thanks for having me.
It's awesome.
Well, out of everybody, Sean has the most moose hunting experience, but not by much. He's got about 15 minutes of one day of moose hunting under his belt. And
that's all it took.
I've been telling Austin, and Sean, you'll like hearing this. I've been telling Austin, I'm like, dude, Sean is the guy who gets it done. Like, I know a lot of hunters. I've hunted with a lot of people, and a lot of people are good at capitalizing on things. But there's something about, like, when I hunt with him, I know we're going to get on animals at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have to figure out, like, especially if Brad hops in, if we're going to, like, split 3 and 3, 3 groups of 2, and obviously figuring out the country up there,
mm-hmm.
which this is going to bring us to what Logan was just telling us about.
Boy.
So why don't you share with Jason and Sean, because I don't think either of them were here or on the phone when you talked to us.
So my boss, he's an avid hunter. I mean, he goes hunting all the time. He'll just take a vacation, just go hunting for a month and come back. And I told him today, and I was like, hey, I'm going to Alaska. Do you got some pointers for me? You know, what's some things you can kind of give me a rundown on? Because I knew he hunted. I didn't know how much. He's like, yeah, I've been to Alaska like 30 times, and I've killed like all this many moose. And I'm like,
sheesh.
What? Like, are you freaking kidding me? He said he's killed 4 bull moose over 50 inches. Like,
wow. Dude.
Huge. He's got 2 mounted in his house. But he was talking to me, and he's like, yeah, well, these are the places you need to go, and these are the places you don't need to go. He said prime time moose hunting is like September 17th is like that's when they don't sleep. Mm. Like, they're just active rut, just moving day in, day out, like – everywhere you see him, like everywhere you look, you're gonna see moose. And obviously, you know, we're leaving the 15th, so that sucks. But he said, like, the last 3 days of our hunt, prime time, like leading up to that rut, you're gonna see moose everywhere on their feet. And I was like, okay, well, that's something I can tell the boys. And I told him kind of the area we're gonna be in, kind of up in that Fairbanks area. I told him what site we were gonna be at. And kind of along the river. I didn't know exactly where, but I showed him I pulled up on X. I was like, yeah, this is kind of where we're going to be at. He's like, that's prime. I was like, really? He goes, yeah, moose love to just walk around any river they can get on. And especially being in the Fairbanks area, I didn't know if there was going to be a lot of moose. He said, no, there's a lot more moose activity than you think. He's like, because it's not a very pressured area is what he told me. He's like, there's a ton of moose there. I'm like, okay, well, that's good information. But
I feel like that part of Alaska, I mean, you see videos come out of Fairbanks, especially of just giant moose.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I want to say, maybe it could have been Anchorage, but I thought it was Fairbanks where that giant one was walking down the median. Have you guys seen that video?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like one of the biggest moose I've ever seen. And it's literally just walking down the median in the middle of town.
Wow.
And it made vehicles look tiny.
Yeah.
In comparison.
Yeah, that thing was a giant.
Is that, do you remember? Is that where it was? Was it Fairbanks?
I can't remember between the two, but I have. So while we're telling stories, I have a good buddy that has hunted out of Fairbanks a few times. And he's shot a 60-inch, and this last time he went up, he shot a 70-inch bull. It was an absolute giant.
Oh, my God. Dude, that is almost as wide as this table that the four of us are sitting at. That's Can you imagine that?
So he,
yep, that's the video. Austin just pulled up the video, so we're going to find out what town this is in.
Well, I'm still telling my story.
It's in Anchorage.
Oh Anchorage. It's all right. Anchorage is only an hour and a half drive.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, look at how huge right. That looks prehistoric.
Are there people backing up to look at that thing? That is crazy.
It is gigantic.
Good grief.
Anyways, that's definitely a legal bull for anywhere that we're going to hunt. So if you see one that size, don't hesitate.
So he still has some friends up there. He was going to reach out to them for us once we kind of knew exactly what area we were going to, and he was going to ask around. But he has some friends that I think the last two times he went up there, he didn't have to pay for his hunts because he runs his own waterfowl outfitting business down here and sends them enough clients to get.
That they just hook him up on a big hunt.
Yeah, it's a favor for a favor, and so he goes on a couple of been on some cool adventure hunts because of that, you know. Dude, networking.
It's going to be a killer trip. I mean, either way, we're all going to have a ton of fun, but I definitely plan on getting on a lot of game animals.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to, I mean, we're not going to know until we show up where things lie with the caribou tags, but I don't know. I mean, I think everybody's kind of in the same boat where moose is number one over everything. Like that's everyone's dream animal. They're number one for going to Alaska. Caribou's like, well, first off, if we get five moose down, I don't know that we're going to have time to caribou hunt. But, like, I mean, it's just the type of thing where as one person gets a moose down, then it's basically going to be all hands on deck helping whoever has a tag open to still fill it.
So that was a thing he said, though. Also, he shot a few caribou. And he's like, you could be up there for 10 days and 7 days, never see one. And then the last 3 days, you'll trip over one trying to look for a moose.
Dang.
So it could work out where if they're moving through in that moment, that we could fill all six caribou tags in the morning and spend that day getting them out. And
Hold on. Let's maybe set a limit of like filling three caribou tags in the morning.
Everyone packs out their own caribou that day.
Hey, dude, six caribou if that's would be your a attitude, lot.
I didn't know I was going to have to be campaigns for this.
I want to be in. If that's your attitude, Dan, I want to be in somebody else's group.
Dude, I have zero experience with caribou. I don't even know how much they weigh, but I can't imagine that they're tiny animals.
If all of us are standing shoulder to shoulder and there's a line of caribou in front of us and we're only going to fill three tags, you better not pull the trigger.
I'd say a caribou is probably like a little smaller than an elk, if I were to guess.
See, here's the thing, though. We're not all bringing rifles, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm bringing a rifle.
I'm going bow.
Me too, bow. I don't know.
You're that's undecided at this point?
Oh, well, I just don't know. I thought I was just...
He doesn't know what pack he's going to buy.
I just didn't know what I'm hauling.
Well,
so.
Austin and I were talking about that last week, and I was like, I honestly don't know what... Jason loves to shoot rifles, but he's also really getting into archery the past couple of years. And so I'm like, I don't know where he stands. He's got some really sweet guns. I don't know about long-range, lightweight hunting rifles.
Yeah.
But you've got to, I guess, make that decision, too, and find out.
Well, and that's what I didn't know. I think you guys discussed that we were only – I didn't know if each of us were bringing a weapon, a firearm, or a bow, or if we were sharing. Because that was my thing, too, is if we were going to be sharing a bow, then it's like, well, I want to get some reps – on, you know, because I've only shot one bow, really.
So what do you shoot?
Like, I just have a Hoyt.
Okay.
Like, you'd probably be good with Matt with Austin's, and then Dan's going to be sharing mine because I have a Matthews. He shoots a Matthews.
Okay. So the idea is kind of to have both rifles and bows with us, but that way everybody can only bring one weapon, and they don't have to pay for two oversized bags. Mm-hmm. And checking that and dealing with all that stuff. But it's like, man, if we get into moose or get into caribou and they're a long ways off, and we don't think we've got a shot at getting closer, you know, we can share rifles, and it's like, hey, you're up, man, go for it, take the shot. And then we were also talking, if there's moose a long way off, we're going to do what we can to get them in close. Mm-hmm. Because one thing you don't want is to shoot a moose down in the willows 700 yards away and lose it after one shot. Hmm. And then you're, I mean, in the backcountry of Alaska trying to trail a giant animal during the rut and in grizzly country. So
I'll do it.
Dude, I'm down for sure, but that's not going to be my first option. You know?
I'll do it, but I'm bringing a rifle.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got for sure two rifles and two bows going.
Okay.
Brad will be bringing a rifle if he ends up coming.
Hey, will one of you guys just draw a circle on a map and send it to me so I have a good idea of where we're going? Because that would probably weigh in on my decision.
I gotcha.
Are we going to be up by pipeline?
Send them like somewhere totally different, man. Just, Sean's like, where are you guys at, man? I've only got one bar of service.
Somewhere in like California.
I saw the text going around and I wasn't 100% sure what we decided on. So I just want to make sure I'm talking apples to apples, because if not, I got to start shooting my bow.
No, I think we're going to be rifle. We found some really good country, both river bottom that's wooded, also big marshy areas, also tall peaks. And so, I mean,
any pipeline in the neighborhood?
I think there's kind of pipeline. I think there's a big one that runs just north that comes down from like northwest.
I don't know where it'd be the one that follows the Dalton Highway.
But the problem is with the pipelines, you have to be a couple miles away from the pipeline before you can actually use
it. Well, so do we have that? So before we give away our secret spot,
don't actually know yet.
I can ask my boss.
I was just wondering if we have to deal with the pipeline restrictions or not.
No.
And here's the deal. Okay, once we actually get on moose and have
success. Then I'm bringing a rifle, man. Because I'm not going all the way to Alaska to have it at 75 yards and not be comfortable with the shot.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to be bringing my rifle, and we're going to, I think, Dan, I'm going to have to bring this 375 again, man.
Are you bringing it?
And then, yeah, I think so, man. If I can borrow your rifle, if I need some distance on a caribou.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll have the 300 PRC, and I know that thing's lethal. Out of two seasons of hunting with it, it has taken down, I think it's put at least the finishing shot on six elk. Hmm. One of them was mine, and then four of them were other people's 1 year, and then one last year was my brother's. And so, I mean, that thing was lights out.
Well, that was a good story, but the 375 is the only thing that's proven to kill a moose so far, so I'm going to have to...
It only took three shots at 100 yards.
Hey, that's where you were standing, all right? I had to back up. I had to make it fair.
Sean said that he was going to we were planning out the hunt, right? And we get into camp, me and my buddy Tim, we got into camp the night before season opener. And that morning, the morning before season opener, Sean had a giant moose walk through camp right by his travel trailer. Hmm. And he's like, dude, if I see that moose.
The morning before.
Yeah, it was the morning before.
The morning before, because we were there the day before, and we, my brother and I, Shane, we slept in the camper, and when I woke up the next morning, I was like, oh, sun's up, I'm going to do some scouting, and I knew we camped right in moose country, man. We were right in the middle of it.
Hey, if you guys need to,
so I was like, I'm just gonna open this window and find a moose. And I opened the window, or if you have to cough, at like 75 yards, there was a moose, and he was an absolute giant. I thought for a minute he was the one I shot and ended up with, and like looking at it all later, I don't think it's the same one. I think he was definitely bigger than the one that I ended up with, but it was just funny because it was like, I leaned over my brother on his little hide-a-bed in the camper and cracked that window, and it was right out the window, and I just immediately started running. I was like, where's my shooting sticks and my binos? I got a glass on this guy.
Yeah, dude, couldn't you? And, technically, it's not an established or a permanent dwelling, so can you shoot from an RV?
I could have if the season would have been opened. But that was
that's
the day
crazy, dude.
My
could you imagine? You're laying prone on your bed in your travel trailer, and you're like, "Well, yeah. The hunt's over, boys." That's kind of how it went, though. Literally 15 minutes into opening day, we all took 2 weeks off of work for this moose hunt. I mean, like, essentially once in a lifetime moose tag. And we all take 2 weeks off in like 15 minutes into
it. It is once in a lifetime.
Oh, yeah, for bulls. You can get multiple cow tags throughout your life, but the odds of drawing over and over is pretty slim for either. But yeah, 15 minutes in, and then like 30 minutes in, we all got over to the moose. And we're looking at each other like, well, what do we do for the next 13 days? And we just kind of hung out for a couple days, ate some moose, and chilled in the backcountry of Colorado.
All right, how many of you guys hate dealing with tangled up rope? Trying to untie it, it's all knotted up, and you actually really need it at the time. Don't raise your hands, because I obviously can't see you. But those days are long gone. Rapid Rope is a quick deploy rope solution that you can pull the length you need and cut it all with one hand. You don't need knives or scissors or a lighter to singe the end because it's cross-threaded to keep it from fraying. Yeah, they've thought of everything. And this is way stronger than your average 550 cord. In fact, this is 1,100 pound test. It comes in a shatterproof canister that you could fit in the cup holder in your vehicle or your backpack or, I don't know, if you still wear cargo pants, any one of the 1,000 pockets that you have. It comes in a 120-foot canister, a 70-foot canister, and you can get a rope refill. So just in a matter of seconds, you could be deploying and cutting rope with one hand again. So if you want to stop dealing with the headache of untying rope and detangling everything anytime you need to tie something down, go check out rapidrope.com and use code NOMADIC for 10% off at checkout. If you're an avid listener of this podcast, you've probably heard me talking about Infinite Outdoors in the past. Infinite Outdoors is expanding access for hunting and fishing on private land across the country. From whitetail hunts in Missouri to waterfowl hunts in Wyoming and pheasant hunts in Colorado, they provide access to over 1 million acres of private land listings for all types of hunting and fishing. Best part is, it's incredibly easy to browse and book properties all on the Infinite Outdoors app. The app is free to download and easy to use. All you have to do is sign up and you can browse over 250 different adventures across 10 states. Download the app today and use NOMADIC15 for 15% off your membership.
Pretty good place to chill. That was kind of, had we not, on our elk trip, had we not had more tags to fill, it would have been like, because I shot mine like 30 minutes into opening day. And it was like, well, instead of going way back and setting up camp, you know, 5 miles back, we're now packing a elk out. And it was like, what do we do with this? Like, I remember looking at that elk. I'm going to have the same with a moose. And just turned to my buddy and looking at him going, dude, where do I even start? This thing, like, I'd only had whitetail experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, this thing is so much bigger than a whitetail.
Who's had experience, like, quartering like up or butchering? Oh, yeah.
Right?
They're huge. And then you think about a moose, which is, like, 75% wider.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, everything is just, it dwarfs. A moose to an elk is almost an elk to a deer. Like, it's so big. And, I mean, you've got experience with an elk.
With an elk.
Do you guys have any experience butchering something that size?
A bison.
A bison? Okay, so that's as far as weight goes, that's
on the card.
Yep. Anybody elephant? Are you going to see the bison and raise him an elephant?
Just chickens and turkey. So
okay, you're a long way off.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You've got some whitetail experience, but I mean, you guys are going to see one, like gutting it. We don't ever gut anything when we go out elk hunting. You just quarter it, and you can either bone it or you can leave the bone in, depending on how far you are.
Yeah.
But in Alaska, we're going to have to be very strict about what we take out of there. Not that when we go hunting, we don't just leave meat unnecessarily. But there, it's like you have to get all the meat in between the ribs, all the neck meat. Mm-hmm. Like, they have it very meticulously listed out in the reg book. And I mean, I've watched the shows. I don't have enough experience hunting Alaska to actually see this in person, but they fly over and they'll find kill sites, drop down, investigate, make sure people aren't wasting meat.
Interesting.
And they'll actually like go and find the people who harvested the animal if there wasn't enough meat taken. And at that point, I mean, they could confiscate it. They could take a lot of stuff, including hunting rights, if you're just wasting meat. So we're going to be very strategic about that. But the nice thing is you don't dive into the guts on an animal that big. You typically just start at the back, start skinning, and then you're pulling, you know, legs off, back straps, rib meat, neck meat, the whole deal.
So if you got a quarter two shot, you're not too screwed because you're not gutting it.
Yeah. Well, you still don't want to deal with the guts. I'll tell you that right now. But, I mean, hopefully we're not Swiss cheesing any animals up there. Right. So, but yeah, I mean, back to what we were talking about, distance, like Austin and I discussed.
Also, though,
go ahead.
If you got a moose in its feet, you got to shoot it again.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, you definitely don't.
Animal in big country.
Yeah, if they're on the ground, that's one thing that I wasn't used to. Like growing up in Wisconsin, whitetail hunting, like you shoot an animal and it's like, yeah, if you get a follow-up shot, great. But, you know, a lot of people, even still,
you'll pass that follow-up shot to sometimes just because you're like, oh, I hit him good enough. I don't need to put a follow-up in it for like whitetail.
Yeah.
You know, some,
oh, yeah. If you know right away, if you see it enter, especially with like a bow, you see the arrow enter, you're like, that thing's dead in 50 yards, whatever. That's great. With a moose, even with an elk, like when I started going out to Colorado with these guys, it was if it's on its feet, you put another round in it until it's down. I mean, granted, say you put a shot in it and it's wobbly and like having a hard time standing up, you know, you don't necessarily need to. But if it's on its feet and it looks up even 50% okay, especially in that country, one, you don't want them getting into the river. That would really suck. With this many guys, it's not going to be as big of a challenge. But then also, I mean, if we're in a marshy area that's thigh deep, you don't want that thing booking it for that water. And then you're having to essentially just swim and drag through mud the whole way. So it's, there is going to be some strategy about it and some communication that goes into it of, hey, let's maybe wait. Let's try to get it a little bit closer. Let's us try to get a little bit closer to it and see what happens.
So. And I think that comes down to like everything from, are we taking this one with a rifle or a bow?
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, we're all of that's going to have to come into play and we're going to have to figure that out. And we're also going kind of on that note, you know, we'll have walkie talkies if we're allowed to, but we have to figure out kind of what we can and can't say on the walkie talkies because they monitor those too.
I think as a whole, you can use it for communication. You can't use them to walk somebody into an animal, if that makes sense. So, like, say you guys are going after one with your bow. You see a moose, a mile.
Say I got one down.
Yeah, you can say, like, hey, I got one down. Yeah. Or it's like, hey, let's meet back at the truck. Or, like, hey, let's do this or that. But say Sean and I are sitting up on a knob, and the three of you guys have your bows, and you're making a play on a moose. If we can't be like, hey, 500 yards farther, it's off to your right, keep going, that type of thing. Like, you literally can't walk somebody into an animal. And you can't even call somebody on the phone and be like, hey, I've got a moose over here, come over here and take it.
Really?
Yeah. They're very strict about that, because what they don't want is one person out there and them calling a group of people and like, I mean, because you could really coordinate it well if you were able to use that to where it's like you kind of choke that animal out and you move in on it.
That's the same reason you can't fly in and shoot one on the same day, right?
Exactly.
It's unethical and it takes the advantage away from the animal. And like, that's the way I plan to hunt anyways, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I want to get eyes on it.
I want to find one and then I want to go after it. Like, that's my intent 100%. It's going to be me against the moose.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the fun part of it is one, glassing. Cause one of my favorite things on the planet to do is glass. Like, you just get up there and you're looking and looking and looking. And then all of a sudden you see it and it's like, hey, we got to get closer.
It's a shed.
Dude, I do like glass and sheds too, though, man. Everybody, I mean, Yeah.
In my entire career, I've never glassed up a shed, and I watched you pick six of them off of a hill on in one sit.
Dude, literally, gosh. I just sat up there, like, and I'm like, hey, I got a shed.
Like, luckily,
hey,
I'm looking for elk.
Dude. Are you allowed to keep the sheds if you find them?
So we've got to look that up. I think there's I think you can, but I think there's a permit that you have to get
I think, so I was kind of doing some research, and I think it depends on what it is. You actually have to register it through, like, a bot. Like, you have to call, I don't know it, what center it is. I don't know if it's, like, the conservation or, like, when it comes to, like, the biologists in that area. Hmm. Because I know when it comes to bones, you have to call, like, the biologists that deal with this, their different areas you're in, and they have to identify the bone before you can take it. So I don't know if that goes in play with the shed, or if you can just snag it, take it by the conservation department and be like, hey.
Yeah. But we'll have to
I'm
chat
not 100%. A lot of people I know of have the problem that they fly in and fly out, and they aren't going to pay for an extra trip for any extra way out, you know?
Listen, if
especially
I find a giant...
if you were successful...
No, here's the deal, though. We don't even have to. We don't have to because we're getting all of our stuff shipped back.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the people that fly in to hunt would have to pay an extra trip.
Yeah,
and so a lot of those people find them, and then they just leave them on the beach where they set up their camp, and it just becomes a landmark or whatever, you know?
No, I'm not leaving it out there.
No.
That's what I was saying, is by doing this all on foot and out of vehicle, like, that'd be funny to have a whole load of, you've got to have them wrap a pallet to send it back.
I'm going to dive in after a giant shed, and you guys are going to be up on the hill, and I'm going to hear some rifle shots, and, like, a whole herd of caribou blows out of some willows or some bottom, and I'm going to pick up a moose shed.
Austin comes back with a backpack load.
Hey, dude. Boys,
when we were up in Alaska,
a backpack load of moose sheds is one shed.
One shed.
Hey, what are you guys really doing to get ready for this as far as how many of you guys are getting in shape? Because that's who I want on my team.
I'm working on it. I'm rucking already.
I've been rucking and getting into the gym.
Yeah.
Kind of doing a similar thing I did for elk camp. But this one, I'm kind of more so focused on the endurance part of it, because it's not going to be necessarily going up mountains as much. It's more so going to be, you know, we're in the tundra and in the marshes and things like that. So being able to carry the pack through that. So I'm kind of focusing on longer rucks and things like that.
Yeah.
I have done a lot of trim in my house and a lot of painting on my new house. And so that's what I've been doing so far.
Is this like the Karate Kid sort of training?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
it's Karate Kid. Sort of, you don't understand what it is until you are carrying like 14 2x4s down a flight of stairs. And then you're like, oh, hey, this could play into it. Like, I've got 70-inch 2x4s so that I'm used to, like, all that weight on my shoulders swaying back and forth.
Smart.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's kind of a perfect deal.
On this same note, though, obviously conditioning is important for me because I'm undecided. I would say right now, because most recent, I haven't hunted much this last year, but the last time I hunted was when I got my buck, which is when I came on the podcast. What, a year and a half, 2 years ago. Anyway, all that being said, yeah, I'm in addition to rucking and carrying everybody's packing everybody's animals out, if the opportunity presents itself, I would love to shoot a moose if that comes up. But I don't know, should I go bow? I don't probably like have a firearm that would be lightweight for packing. I have like a 6.5 Creedmoor. It's a Seekins SP10, like an AR-10, but that's more of like not tactical, but I don't know what you
mean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not really meant for a backcountry.
I mean, I've got an extra rifle.
Okay.
If you want to use it.
So wait, can we edit that part out so my wife doesn't hear that I don't need to go buy another rifle for this?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, you need to buy another rifle, man.
You sold that rifle.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, man. Yeah,
you need to buy another rifle.
Yeah. Dude, the thing is, man, it's
bro. You have an excuse. I haven't been on a big hunt without buying a rifle.
Dude,
for just that reason.
I went
like,
and bought
dude,
a new pistol
never,
for
you
this.
You don't own a moose rifle.
I bought a new
you
pistol for
one.
This.
When I bought my 10 mil, I think my wife cried. I showed up. She's like, "What did you get?" I'm like, "Listen, it's for a good cause.
It's for protection.
This help is a lifesaver." Okay.
It calmed Austin down a little bit.
Oh, speaking yeah. of, I mean, people need to be shooting their pistols too, just in case, because like we are going to be in grizzly country, and I don't think there's a whole lot else that we have to be worried about there. I if think we have to be worried about grizzlies and bull moose in the rut.
Right.
And hopefully we see those coming from a long way. Hopefully we see both of them coming from a long way off, but like bear spray, I'm going to carry bear spray and my pistol. Mm-hmm. And I just, everyone I've talked to on the past trips that I've gone there, they're like, that's the way to go. Just carry both. Like some people live and die by bear, literally die by bear spray, because they didn't have a pistol. But I just feel like to have both would be great. One is a deterrent. One is, you know,
a lethal.
Lethal, if it came to that. So,
Sean, do you have a 10 mil?
I do have. I have a really very nice 10 mil. I wanted a banquet.
That's awesome.
So I will be. I will be. Yeah, Kimber Rapide, the Black Ice.
Ooh!
Wow.
It was the gun of the night, and it's the only gun I've ever won in all my years of donating thousands of dollars to
people. That's awesome.
It's the most expensive free pistol on the planet.
It's going to be heavy.
So I think I'm just going to run the pistol because I'm only going to pull one trigger, right? I'm not going to be fumbling around and messing with it. And but I would love if somebody else had bear spray. I've got your six.
Dude, I'm gonna be dual wielding. I'm gonna be dual wielding, man. 10 mil and the bear spray. And it's just,
but
like,
that's, I just want it to be a cluster. You're either charging and we're doing this or you're not, and I'm gonna let you slide, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a moment where seconds count. And oh, for sure. There's one thing that I trust, and that's the pistol.
And hopefully, I mean,
100%. It's ending. That's the quickest way to end the situation. Granted, like you just can't be scared, right? You got to be.
Oh yeah, you got to be. Well, you got to be calm in that situation.
If you're gonna pull that trigger, you have to. It's, you've got to think that moment through 100%.
Yeah, and you're gonna have to own it, man.
If it comes to that point, then, like I said, there's only one trigger I'm going to pull in that moment.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, the country that we get in, obviously for glassing, you can't be in thick timber while you're glassing. You're going to have to be up high and hopefully have good visibility all over the place. But it happens every year, man. It happens multiple times a year, both mm-hmm. in the lower 48 and in Alaska, that something goes south. And the crazy thing is, man, there's so many really wild animal encounters. Have you guys heard about the killer whales?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's killer whales that are disabling boats. Yeah. It started off the coast of Europe. I think in my numbers might be way wrong, but, and I'm not thinking like there's this global thing where animals are taking out people, but it's kind of wild.
Conspiracy theory, the government's doing it.
It's like, not The Shining. What's the,
The Happening. Is that what
it's
called?
Yeah, The Happening. It's like The Happening where Mother Earth turns against us. But the killer whales, dude, they off the coast of Europe, I think the first year that it happened, they had like five encounters where they were disabling boats by like taking out their rudder or taking out their engine. The next year there were like 50. The year after that, there were like 200. And so they're like, these orcas smarter. Are teaching each other how to disable boats.
That's crazy.
And then this year, I think it was actually just recently off the coast of Alaska, they started doing it. And I'm like, dude, those are totally different oceans, but somehow these orcas are targeting boats for whatever reason.
Yeah. I'm curious what the motivation is. Like, is this because they're like, quit, you know, hunting whales or,
oh dude,
greenhouse gases. It's a part of the green party. Or
somebody, no, dude, they watched that Blackfish documentary on Netflix.
Just revenge. No,
somebody was scooting across the water in their sailboat one day and just smoked a calf, and the mom has just had revenge ever since.
Teaching everybody.
Dude, I would not be surprised, because they're like, man, these animals can hold grudges, and mm-hmm. they can, I mean, and then you think about one animal, but the fact that they can be teaching each other this, specifically targeting boats, I'm like, just think, man, if it keeps on the trajectory, it's going to be thousands of boats, and all of a sudden, like, you're not going to be able to go out into orca-infested water.
I mean, when you think of it, orcas, like, more closely related to a dolphin, right?
Yeah.
In, like, how smart are dolphins? Mm-hmm. So that's the fact that they can even just remember things like that or teach people, teach themselves, like...
Dude, those are some scary animals, man. Like, it doesn't even
hunt.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Hopefully, our 10 millimeter will, you know, do well in the river.
I don't think
with
in
those.
The Fairbanks we're gonna have to. Hopefully, in the past couple of years, they haven't been learning how to swim up the Yukon River.
They're here. Following the salmon.
Walk out. There's one on the front, right in the front door.
Dude, I do want to see one in person, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just. From a distance, maybe.
Yeah.
Or from a helicopter.
Because you've seen the videos of, like, people in their kayaks and stuff. And it's like, oh, that's beautiful. That's amazing.
No,
and now
dude,
this
I would
puts
be
a different spin on it.
Swallow
dude,
you.
I like to have my feet on the ground when I encounter animals, man. To be out in the water.
Terrifying.
Is sketchy. I was on a paddle board, like, a month ago with Canyon out in the Gulf off the coast of Florida. And... we got to the sandbar and we're just kind of hanging out. He's diving down looking for sand dollars and he's holding onto the paddleboard and he looks out and he goes, dad. And he frantically climbs up on the board and I'm like, oh crap. What? I'm like, dude, what is it? He's like, there's something big right there. And I get on the paddleboard and it was a manatee and it was 15 feet away from us. And so we just got up on the paddleboard, got a view of it. And I was like, okay, good. But the way he did that, I was scared. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to do everything to protect my kid. But out in the ocean, there's not a whole lot I can do, man. Yeah. I don't think I can punch a shark in the jaw and knock
right
it
out.
Right on the nose. Right
gouge
on the nose.
Gouge its eyes out
right while it's eating your legs.
But, dude, Mythbusters said to hit him in the gills, right? Mm.
Oh, you punch them in the gills?
Tear out their gills, yeah. Or poke them in the eyes.
Yeah,
listen, dude, I don't know if I'm going to be that composed in the moment of a shark.
I don't even open my eyes in the salt.
No,
there, so
hold on. I'm just telling you guys, in case you ever do, I really think you're supposed to punch them in the gills because they have protected lenses over their eyes. And
oh, dude.
I'll have my 10 millimeters.
Sharks have underwater safety glasses, man. This
I don't know. Does that protect them from shark spray? Is there a shark spray we can get?
I do have a very serious question for you guys. Say we're in the backcountry of Alaska.
I want to. Yeah.
What?
Let's get back on subject.
No. I say it's a very serious question, but I am kind of curious your answers on this, even though it's not serious. If we were to be out there and we see Sasquatch, are you dropping him?
Dropping it.
Absolutely.
Because
are you?
I'm tired of all those fuzzy, unclear videos and photos. I'm going to get it, I'm going to bag it, and take it back.
Dude.
I'd be too afraid that it's just somebody wearing a costume.
Yeah, you'd be afraid it's somebody wearing a costume, or maybe they're land orcas and they remember. And Mama Sasquatch watches it and starts taking out hunters all across the country.
You walk out your front door one day and just Sasquatch is standing there ready to just beat the crap out of you.
They secretly hold
and then
classrooms.
Takes your beef jerky.
Do you guys believe in Sasquatch?
No.
No? 100% no.
100% no.
I think of all the kind of urban legends and mythical things.
Hold on, dude. Hold on. This just hit me so hard.
Uh-oh.
And I can't believe... I need your phone, Austin. Have you guys seen the Bigfoot cartoon?
The Bigfoot cartoon?
There's a cartoon, and it's called Bigfoot, I think.
Like a movie or a show?
Yeah. It's an animated movie.
Do you need
YouTube
or there's
Safari?
The one... what is it? Missing Link with...
It's not Missing Link.
Okay. And then there's...
It's... Oh, dude.
Is it Bigfoot with the Littlefoot is the one? I don't know. There's a couple of them. You start talking about kids' movies, and then I might have...
Dude, it just hit me as I ask this question. Jason looks just like Bigfoot from the movie. Look at this. The hair and everything, dude.
Whoa.
Maybe I am
dude,
Bigfoot.
Look at this.
Got the dude.
Which one of you guys is going to shoot him?
Please don't shoot me if you see me.
Jason's so hairy. Dude, you gotta be in Blaze Orange everything, man. We're
gonna
see you.
That's probably what
you're
going to be. I'm gonna see him and be like Sasquatch or Jason.
Okay, so where do you stand on this, Jason? Do you think that Bigfoot or Sasquatch or Yeti is out there?
The fact that we've gone so long, the only way, and this is a stretch. I'm not saying I believe this, but as many cameras, trail cams, and hunters and outdoorsmen and the technology, thermal drones, and nobody, then if it does, if Bigfoot exists, I feel like it would have to be like some sort of interdimensional creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got powers.
Or Area 51's just like
cloaking ability.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've maybe rounded them up.
Yeah.
Austin, where are you at on it?
Where they have like,
I'm going to kind of go the same as
like,
Jason.
Give me a percentage.
I'm going 90% no, 10% yes. Because it's one of those things that, like, if I were to see it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, Sasquatch. He's real. And I could believe it, but...
But would you... I mean, being a 90% disbeliever, would you think it's just a person in a costume?
Probably.
Okay. Where are you at? So, like, you said, if it's real... It's got it's like an interdimensional.
Dan's
being
over here trying to figure out if he can get away with wearing a Sasquatch costume in Alaska.
It may be in my garage right now in an Amazon box.
I've met people that swear I have a whole story, and I have like.
But you get on to Arkansas a lot, and you can't really trust those people.
True. This person was disclose too much, but no, I was told that when this person was a child that they were driving and that there was a family of them that crossed the road in front of them and that there was like a barbed wire fence and they like the older ones had to help the younger one through and then they just went on their way. And I was like, this is kind of like a crazy story to just be making up. But yeah, I don't know. But then again, I'm also the guy that's like, there have been so many things that I've learned that we've been lied to. Then it's like, this could... You know, could this also be in a bucket of things, you know, of all the stuff that we've been told? And then, you know, you get older and you're like, oh man, like the government doesn't have my best interest at heart. So I have to get on the floor.
Oh, do you not believe that they're like,
I
really want to
be in your group when we get to Alaska? 100%.
All right.
And I I was going to say when it came my turn to answer that.
Hold on. Jason didn't give me a percentage.
I would say I'll go 75 not real, 25. I'm open for the
possibility. I honestly thought you'd be closer to 50-50. I don't know if it's just because of how hairy you are, yeah. But I just figured closer
to
50-50.
Part of the cover is if I tell you that, then you're like, it is him.
Yeah, he's a squasher.
I gotta like try to sow seeds of doubt. That's part of my survival plan.
Oh, okay. Sean, all right. Now, where are you at on it?
I think I'm kind of with Jason in the fact that the way the world's going these days, I don't think anything would surprise me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have not seen anything that leads me to believe that Bigfoot's real. Okay. The most compelling thing that I've seen was a video of a hunter. He was muzzleloader hunting, I believe, it was like Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, somewhere in there. And he was visibly shaken. And this guy doesn't seem like a guy who just posts on social media randomly. And he was freaking out. He's like, dude, I was walking and I didn't know what was going on. There were treetops that were literally just snapped off like 9 feet above the ground. And he's like, they were just completely snapped off. And then I came across this giant, what looked like a bird's nest on the ground. And...
It was a portal.
It was huge. He's like, it was like 8 feet wide. It was a giant nest on the ground. And then he's like, I was getting kind of freaked out. You know, I was out there elk hunting. And anyways, on his way back to the truck, he walked back past this area again and he heard something and looked over and he said, there was this giant creature looking at me that was almost black. It was super, super dark. And he's like, and it looked, the closest thing it looked like was a gorilla. He's like, but it was standing up like a person. And anyways, he's like freaked out and you can tell. And he's like, I pulled up my muzzle loader and I thought about shooting it, but then realized if I shoot and it doesn't kill it, this is my only shot. And anyways, he made it back to his truck. He said the thing followed him almost all the way to his truck. And he's like, he said, if I had gotten to my truck and unlocked it, I would have turned around and shot it and then got in my truck right away. But he said by the time he reached his truck, he turned around and it was gone. And I was just like, that was the most convincing video I've ever seen of somebody really believing it. Because you hear the stories, and you've got those guys online who are like, oh, my parents grew up, and they saw Bigfoot, and I heard him the other night, and he was making a wild sound on the mountain, and I heard rocks tumbling down. And I'm like, okay, I don't buy it. But this dude seemed like just a good hunter. He even said, he's like, dude, I've never believed in it. And whatever that was, that's the only thing I could explain. So where I'm at with it, I think I'm probably like 75 no, 25 yes, but I really want it to be real. Like, I want Bigfoot to be real.
All right, if you're not using Tacticam's Reveal cell cameras on your hunting property for scouting or monitoring the wildlife, you are seriously missing out. When you pair that with the Reveal mobile app, you can see the action as it's happening, no matter where you are. In fact, I've got trail cameras up in Wisconsin on the land that we hunt. And not only do I get pictures from those cameras sent to me, I can also track the progress of the camera, the battery life, how much memory is left on the SD card, and I can see what the weather's doing at the time that a picture is taken. So I can't think of a better tool for scouting, whether it is close to home or in a totally different state. So if you want to stay tuned into the action or just get into the action, go to revealcellcam.com or tacticam.com and use code NOMADIC for 10% off at checkout.
All right, guys, I've got to tell you about some of the new XOP products that I've been using this fall, and some of them I use in kind of an unconventional way. First off, I use the Mondo saddle, but I also use their turkey hunter vest, and I take the Cold World stand, put it in the back of the vest, and carry it in that way. Depending on how far I have to pack in, I'll just bring a foot platform, but one thing I've learned is that if I put the seat cushion on the underside of the seat and flip it up, it turns it into a knee pad also, or I can flip the seat down and sit on it like a conventional tree stand. I also use their holster kit clipped right onto my saddle to carry in my climbing sticks while keeping my hands free. If you're interested in getting a mobile hunting setup like mine, go to xopoutdoors.com and use code NOMADIC for 10% off at checkout.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like...
I think...
Go ahead, John.
I agree. I think it's Steve Rinella said the first person that shoots one deserves their spot in the history books and like is a hero, and the second person that shoots one belongs in jail. Because... like, dude, if they really do exist, like, the first one, science needs it, right? And there's got to be proof of existence.
Yeah.
And then after that, if they're as elusive as you say that, or as they seem to be, right? Nah, you don't need shooting anymore.
Yeah,
I've spent a lot of time in the woods,
this many people
and
have
I've
seen
never.
Them. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I've spent a lot of times in the woods, and I've never seen one, but that makes sense because they're probably more afraid of me than I am of them.
Yeah, I think Steve Rinella's take on it, like trail cameras, road collisions, yeah. Like something would have been killed by now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, finding Bigfoot, that show that was on for how long? And every video it's like looked like it was taken on a BlackBerry.
Oh, dude, it's all nonsense, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get a close-up of a great white shark eating a seal, and you can get, like, these microscopic animals, or, like, the first time a species has been documented in 100 years, and they're like, we thought they were extinct, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And they're finding all of these things, mm-hmm. and there's not one single video
that looks legit.
Oh, that's, like, a legit, clear video of Bigfoot, and... 95% of the videos end up being debunked, and they find out somebody was in a mm-hmm. costume. And I mean, Mitch Hedberg, dude, he talks about it.
Yeah,
his joke about it is Bigfoot is blurry, man. It's not the photographer's fault.
There's a large, out of focus monster
roaming the countryside, and that is extra scary to me.
I might be more like 95 no, 5% yes, because there's a hope that's like
you want it to be real.
I
do. Man.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you
my 10% hopes.
Yeah, it's like real. I want it to be real. I want Loch Ness Monster to be real. I don't want Chupacabra to be real because those things are creepy, mm-hmm. man. And I've seen way better videos of things that look like Chupacabra.
I was gonna say I believe more in that than Bigfoot.
I want Bigfoot to be real, but just like not around my house because I hunt like. There, so like, you know,
I want Bigfoot to be real somewhere
like
else.
Alaska. Like, Bigfoot can be real in Alaska,
dude. It'd be tough for me to go back
like
out
Australia.
In the woods. It'd be tough for me to walk out into the woods with just my bow in the morning if I actually saw Bigfoot one time while hunting.
Dude, I always carry my pistol all the time.
I mean, I always have my pistol too, but dude, I mean, if you need a 10 mil to take out a grizzly, imagine a 9 foot tall gorilla.
Yeah.
Taller. Like, what are you going to do against that? And I mean,
if it's got hands,
if I
like
had to guess, yeah, they can climb trees. And like, if a gorilla's got the strength of four men, how much strength does Bigfoot have? Like, he's just going to rip the tree down and kill you.
Probably pretty fast.
I think
too.
The only way to finish him is a 10 millimeter with an empty magazine is what you need.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a one shot.
I would say though that if I was going to go, and if they could prove that it was Bigfoot, that like being killed by Bigfoot would be, I mean, that'd be kind of a cool story.
But how would you know if they're elusive? Just drag your body and hide.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They probably consume the whole thing.
Oh, exactly. Dude, they take you to a different dimension, man.
Different dimension. There it is.
They all just teleport somewhere. That's where to live in. It's like a big vacation home.
Dude, what if the planet of... I haven't seen the new Planet of the Apes movie, but I want to. What if that just slowly progresses into a whole colony of Bigfoots?
I believe it.
I'd be scarred, probably.
Yeah, I feel like it. What were you going to say, Sean?
Well, I just wanted to warn everybody I'm trying to circle this back to moose hunting a little bit, but
no, we're on Bigfoot.
Are you saying we got off track? I've got more to add to this real quick.
When you guys all pull your pepper spray and that doesn't work and I start pulling my trigger, just know that I'm mag dumping it. It's
be everything. I got 16 rounds.
Just know that Sean's going to have to reschedule his flight because he's going to have a serious interview with Alaska Fishing Game.
Well,
why did you shoot
if I got to pull the trigger once, we're going to keep pulling
that. Hey, here's the deal, man. If we get into that situation, I've said this for a long time, and if it actually happened, I'd think otherwise. But I'm like, if I could know for a fact that I would survive and not have a life-altering injury, but I could get a scar from a grizzly encounter, I totally would.
I'd just take its paw and just scratch myself after I killed it. Like, that's from a grizzly.
Go back from a grizzly. It was already dead.
No. Do you guys remember?
Definitely self-defense. Look at this.
Definitely self-defense. Look at this.
There's DNA
scratch
under his fingertip. And you're like right there, that little bit.
CSI Alaska over here. It's
like, okay, yeah. I'm going
to
put my arm in its
see,
mouth.
See, I made sure it was stuck to it.
Yeah, hold on. This thing did not bite with a whole lot of force. Well, I shot it as it grabbed my arm.
No, but what was it a few years back? I mean, I've been like 5 or 6 years ago. There was the guy that like fought off the mountain lion. I don't know if he was a hiker or a mountain biker, and it attacked him. Yeah, it was all this thing on how he killed it.
Dude, that happened right where Sean lives and where we used to live.
Well, but that same story. But then they found out it was like, oh, this guy killed a mountain lion with his bare hands. And then they found out it was actually like an amateur.
They kept dropping the weight of it down. And the final necropsy of it, they discovered that it was probably around 40 pounds.
It's still a mountain lion.
No, but I think 23.
23 is what it came out?
23 is smaller than my blue healer.
I knew it
I mean,
kept,
I still, I know
I knew
they,
it
they
kept
have
dropping
claws
down, but I'm like, I've seen the videos of people getting attacked by house cats. Imagine a 23-pound house cat that, like,
I mean, that's still
has like, I wouldn't, yeah, I would
getting,
definitely have to kill it. Like,
he was getting engagement offers.
Oh,
there were
dude
women online reaching out and proposing to him, and then they found out that he killed a kitten.
Well, dude. Austin sent me a video a while ago. That guy that got attacked by the grizzly, and like only thing that saved him was the grizzly bit his bear spray.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dang, dude!
Crazy.
How about the dude who got attacked twice hiking out? Did you see that one? And his ear was half ripped off. He hadn't pulled his hat off yet. It attacked him, and he hiked out 4 miles and drove himself to the hospital.
I saw that. I remember watching.
Impressive.
That.
It's crazy.
I mean, hopefully we're not in that situation, but I honestly think that a grizzly encounter is something that we need to be prepared for, but obviously the probability is fairly low.
Then you have to think, like, if we're out there in groups, like in threes or groups of two, I mean, if there's a grizzly, we all have a 10 mil. I mean, if we're both, I mean, that's 30 rounds we can put in this grizzly. Well,
and three of us or four, however many are in the group, we get up, make noise at a grizzly.
Yeah.
And be big.
it's probably going to deter an attack unless it has
or it'll pick cubs the smallest guy.
Yeah, and unless it has cubs with it, or like the other thing is if we have to make multiple trips packing something out, it's going to be like, hey, one, you got to hopefully we can get the moose into an opening where we can work on it and where we can glass it from a distance before we move back in to bring a second load out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that it seems like a lot of attacks happen around that. Like you think about the meat tree episode on Meat Eater when that grizzly came in and they had the meat tree all set up. They had all their meat there. They stopped for a break. They weren't near their packs or whatever. And a grizzly charged through. They said, I think they said it was like 12 feet, a 12 foot circle that they could see, and everything else was that was overhead and they couldn't see anything, and they heard it keep coming, and then it came through to nobody got seriously injured, but then it continued to bluff charge from a bunch of different angles. And then the most recent grizzly attack in Montana where the guy's thumb got bit off, they were walking back into an elk that they had already killed. And so, I mean, once you have food on the ground like that, especially up there, it's a dinner bell, man.
I'm good.
You hear gunshots, it's a dinner bell for these animals because they know there's a good chance that there's a pile of meats in there.
So, Sean, that's why you shoot a bow.
Yeah.
Sean, if we're partnered up and I have all the meat on my back, I'll be kind of the diversion and I'll distract the grizzly and let it chase me. And then once it gets on my back, that's when you, you know, take the shot with your Cinderella gun that you got at the ball.
Your glass slipper. We're gonna call yours the glass slipper. I'm gonna take it from you, and I'm gonna engrave glass slipper on your whistle.
I'll send it home with you. I hope you do. I already told you guys I got your six, so you guys carry the meat, and I'll just walk in the back of the group and be our, you know, keep an eye on anything winding us.
Dude, Sean, if we go according to elk camp rules, you are the last one to shoot.
Well, I don't think that those rules work in this instance.
You just, they don't apply.
Does that work if we're partnered up?
If you're the last person to shoot an elk.
There, carried one to... but nobody else was there.
I was.
You would be...
Well, I was there in spirit.
Between you and I owe you one, Dan.
They all listened to the podcast, so they were kind of there.
Yeah.
No, we'll have to figure all that out. We still have to go through a full pack list and figure out who's bringing what so that we don't have six jet boils. And everybody needs emergency kits. Everybody needs lighters, knives, obviously their weapons, ammunition, game bags, things like that. But there are certain things that we just don't. Like, we don't need to double, triple, quadruple up on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have to, I'm sure we'll do at least another podcast moving forward about our gear list. But I think, I mean, at this point, we're basically set. We've got an Airbnb booked. We've got a vehicle booked. If Brad comes, we'll have to get a second vehicle, which I don't think would be the worst thing because then we could float the river. Like, we could send three people down the river. Mm-hmm. Especially if we've got a drop-off vehicle and a put-in vehicle.
What are we floating in?
Either a canoe or a raft.
I got little floaties going on.
All right, sounds
good. But honestly, with the intel that Logan and Sean have, it's like hopefully we get into moose country without having to worry about that. Because the rentals up there are crazy prices.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And right now, I mean, we're sitting, now that we have five people, our number for like all in is under $2,400. That's what it was with only four of us. But with a fifth person splitting prices, like we're getting into this hunt super, super cheap.
Oh yeah. And we may end up with, let's see, six, maybe seven with my buddy Deegan who might come. And luckily we'll be, you know, we'll have property that we can kind of spread out on.
Well, to and camp that's
at the Airbnb.
That's the nice thing is there's a lot of huntable country around there and we'll do some e-scouting. I mean, probably not while we're live on a podcast, but we'll do some e-scouting together, get together, do a video call with Sean, and just find a couple of really good spots that we want to hone in on based on the intel that we have from the people on the ground or that have experience hunting up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it's like we could definitely, day one, we take two vehicles, two different directions, and then at the end of the day, we say, hey, listen, this is what we found. there's a lot of caribou moving over here. We saw a handful of moose, no bulls or nothing legal, or hey, there's a ton of moose sign. We need to focus on this more. And so I feel like with more people, I don't want to get a huge group, but I want it to be a good group of guys who are hungry for it. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want dead weight that we're dragging around. So it's like when we get up there, man, it's go time. And like Sean and I, it's funny. I love going to elk camp, but Sean knows this from this last trip. It's like we did a lot of two-track hunting where it was like driving around and didn't really drop in. And that's not how I want to hunt, especially going to Alaska. Like I plan on putting on miles. If I'm not exhausted at the end of the day, I'm not hunting the way that I want. So
yeah. Well, that's why I'm glad you invited me to come on the podcast today and hear all this, because it's like now I'm
he's canceling his flight. He's
forget this. I just meant like, because my wife and I, we've been trying to work out and get back in shape, but like hearing this is giving me motivation. Like, man, I need to step it up even more. Maybe instead of carrying the 16-month-old Josie on my back, maybe I need to put my 9-year-old on my back and like haul her around the, you know,
do some. Dude, they make those sandbag quarters that you can buy. And it's like carrying around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like carrying around a giant quarter in your pack. But
I have a kettlebell and then my sleeping bag in my pack. And it's like, I think it's like 30.
Do you cushion the kettlebell with the sleeping bag so it's not like slapping around on your back?
Well, Sean, what did you do to get ready for the mountain goat hunt? Tell them what you did to get ready for the mountain goat hunt, then I'll tell them what I did.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, tell them what you did to get ready for the mountain goat hunt, and then I'll tell them what I did to get ready.
So on the mountain goat hunt, I was hiking 5 miles every day for 4 or 5 months. It was I think I missed 2 or 3 days because I was on vacation, and otherwise just hiking. But Dan, you don't know this yet, but I I started after the Super Bowl, and I've been carrying 50 pounds a day for about 3/4 of the days that I've been going.
Dang.
And carrying a pack the whole time, bro. I'm down 50 pounds. You won't even recognize
me. Wow.
Jeez, man.
You're going to see me in the airport and be like, that light's like sharp. Well, I can't say I completed it. So I didn't say that. But yeah, I tried to do it. And even failing at 75 hard helped me lose 50 pounds. And I'm a whole different man, dude. I've been carrying that pack. All the neighbors know me. There's like rumors going around town about me.
Do you look like the homeless guy, like carrying a giant ruck around all the time?
Yeah, I slid two flats of shotgun shells in there, and it came out to be 56 pounds. And
jeez.
It took me a while to work up to it, but I got there. So but yeah, I asked Bo the other day how much he weighed, and he's got 8 pounds on me.
Dang, dude. So, you're smaller than Bo?
Yeah, well, no. I've got 8 more pounds to go. Sorry,
okay. Dude, but that's nuts, man, because he's not a big guy at all. So when Sean told me about the mountain goat hunt, I was like, I better get going. Like they were doing 5 miles a day with 50 pounds in their pack. And then they were doing bleacher climbs after with their packs on, him and this guy, Josh, that went with us on the mountain goat hunt. And so I was like, dude, I got to get on this. And I was living north of town, a lot of hills. And so I mapped out a 5 mile loop out in the country. And so I'm just going up and down hills. I've got 50 pounds in my pack. I've got my bino harness on. I'm set up as if I'm actually hunting. And I do it one day, right? And I was like, holy cow, dude, that was intense, man. Like 50 pounds for sure. And then hiking up and down these hills. And it's like hiking on pavement. I hate hiking on pavement, man. It just kills your knees, especially when you're going downhill. So the next day I go out, do it again. And I get home, we go into town, do something, and the guy whose property we were living on calls me. And he's like, hey, Dan, are you at home? And I go, no. And he goes, okay, the cops stopped by and they're looking for you. And I'm like, what? Apparently one of the neighbors saw me hiking and saw my bino harness and literally called in that there's a homeless man with a bomb strapped to his chest and the cops were looking for me. or looking for this person. She didn't know who it was, and they thought it was me because they had cleared out a homeless camp north of town. Apparently, a lot of them pushed farther north, and so she was just totally freaking out.
With the bombs. And
what's funny is I put my AirPods in. I had my AirPods in as I was hiking, and I think I had shut them off, or one of them died like right at the end of my hike, and I heard someone yell, "Hey, where are you going?" And I like take them both out, and I'm looking around, and I don't see anybody. And so I'm thinking, oh, it's one of the neighbors talking to their husband, like he's getting in his truck or something. So I was just like, oh, whatever, they must not be talking to me, because I stopped as soon as I heard it. And then turns out it was that lady, and she saw me, and I didn't respond to her or whatever, and then she called the cops. So
solid.
Yeah, and so that's all I did, 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
2 days. I didn't stop because of her, but I was just like, ah, I'll be all right. And then turns out, like, we just smashed the mountain goat hunt. Like, it was a lot of hiking. I mean, hiking well above 12,000 feet every day, putting miles on, up and over saddles, along ridges, right up next to waterfalls. I mean, it was gnarly and some pretty dangerous stuff, too. But it'll be interesting to see what the terrain's like and how difficult it is.
That's kind of what I'm wondering. Cause like for the elk hunt, I put 120 miles in on that trip of just hiking with my pack on, just in the, I think we were there like 10 days. And I mean, it was a lot of work, but that's on like rock and mountain. And this is, I don't know what this will be like.
I mean, I think we're going to still have some of those intense climbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of brush that we're pushing through. So if you guys have gators, that's something that I would definitely bring with. We'll talk about like hip boots or something like that. They make some really lightweight stuff. I've seen people do trash bags, which I mean, it's a good last ditch thing to have, is like a couple just contractor bags rolled up. But there's a lot of gear that we're going to have to think through. Look up a couple gear lists that other people have posted about. They're all over the place for moose hunting. But I'm excited, man. And I know, Jason, you've got somewhere to be here in a minute, so we'll probably wrap this thing up. But
all right.
Anybody have anything to add?
No, we're going to do a podcast separate of all the other interdimensional beings, you know, because that would be... I feel like we could go off on for another 2 hours on like aliens, the Seneca spook light. Like there's all this other stuff we could.
I believe in UFOs. I saw one in a field one day. I'm not gonna lie, just took off.
That's another conversation.
Wait, you were in a field or it was in a field?
I didn't mean
you were both in the field together. Yeah. It missed you. It sucked up a deer sucked instead up a cow, of you. Yeah.
Maybe the UFOs are sucking up all the Sasquatch,
bro.
Yeah. Whoa. How did you know it was real? Did your butt hurt?
He got probed. I knew. Hey, there you go. There's Sean for you right there. That's going to be what Moose Camp is all about right there. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Guys, thanks for joining me. Sean, thanks for calling in, even though I wish you would have just flown in for it. But I'm looking forward to it. We are, what is it, June, July, August, September? Less than 3 months, and we will be like 10 days.
2 months and 12, 2 months, 12 days or something?
Yeah, we will be home. 71 days left until our hunt, and I cannot wait. So
lots of time to get in shape and practice shooting.
Hey, yeah. 75 hard, we can just start.
Yeah, if you guys start today, you can finish 75 hard on our fourth day there.
Dude, I am not doing 75 hard while I'm there, man. I'll tell you that. I'm going to be,
I'm on 70 hard. You get it.
Listen, I'll be doing some stuff, but I feel like I'll be pretty good.
You got definitely a lot of honeydews to do.
I've lost just since starting on the house. We've had the house for 3 weeks now. I've lost like 12 pounds just from working on the house. So I figure just at 200, like right at 200. So I plan on getting down to 180. What'd you say?
I said I'd have to fight up to be in your weight class at this point.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd have to put on some muscle, too.
I don't think so.
No.
You never knew me when I was wiry.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll just get fat. How about this? How about we just fight to see who gets to shoot first? That's what we'll do. Jason's over here like,
yep,
guys,
we settled this.
You're all screwed.
Settle this on the glass.
I cage fought for 4 years, but I don't know how much that'll do.
dude.
Are we allowed to use weapons?
I think when we glass one up and we decide we're going for it, it's just on, and whoever makes it to the moose gets it.
That's what Sean used to say when he before I got my first elk. He said, "Listen, man, if it's something that's smaller than my biggest, you get the first shot. If it's bigger than anything I've ever shot, then you just better be really fast on the trigger." So maybe that's how we go with the moose hunt.
Hold on. It was never that.
I'm not forcing you to bring a bow.
I legitimately said, if it's bigger than anything I have, I'm shooting it. And if it's smaller than that, I will lead you to it.
No, but you definitely said, hold on. You better be fast on the trigger. I 100% know you've said that. And I know I'm kind of thinking you were joking, but I also don't think you were. All I know is you led me to my first elk, and it was awesome. So. All
right, so we got how many days to train on accuracy and speed? Because we got to beat out Sean if on the shot.
I'm not even going down that road. I'm just going to say I'm going to take the seniority road and say, sorry, guys. We don't know if you guys could make an ethical shot since I'm the only one here that ever has.
Oh man, it's gonna be a fun moose camp. Yeah. But yeah, we all.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's nice to finally connect with you guys and meet y'all.
Yeah, we'll find out what our final group list is, and then we'll do another podcast. And if this is it, we'll do another one on gear.
Yeah, sounds good.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.